Hora noctis sexta. 0000 to 0100. The watchman handles a complaint. The fact that Petronius Brevis has a child, a daughter, gives rise to much ribald humour in the small apartment block that he calls home. The wife of Petronius Brevis works at a fishmonger's stall in Rome's Forum Piscarium. As part of her job, she has to supervise the transfer of live fish. These fish are brought to Rome at night in barrels of water. They are shipped live to avoid the problem of the fish spoiling during transport from where they were caught. Once extracted from the barrels, during market hours, the fish swim around in shallow basins carved into the shop's stone countertops. That way, Romans can get their fish really, really fresh. In fact, it is not unusual for a fish to be served at the table within an hour of its demise at the fishmonger's. Getting the fish out of their barrels and into their countertop basins needs to be done before the first shoppers hit the forum around sunrise, and this means that the wife of Brevis has to leave home an hour beforehand. Before she sets off for work, she usually prepares breakfast and leaves this on the kitchen counter for her husband to eat when he gets in, although given the hour he will arrive, he might view it as supper. Brevis usually arrives home an hour after his wife has left for work, after which he eats his meal, has a quick wash, and retires to bed. For Petronius Brevis is a member of the Vigiles, the night watch of Rome, and by that time he has been on his feet for the past 9 hours. Thanks to their overlapping work hours, sometimes Petronius does not see his wife for a week. That's where the jokes about his daughter come from, as the neighbours speculate about how the conception was managed. At the moment, Brevis has several long hours of his shift to go. He and his squad have a dual function. While the Vigiles are charged with maintaining law and order on the streets after dark, this is really incidental to their main task, which is fire prevention. After all, the damage a violent drunk or even a murderous mugger can do is tiny compared to the havoc wrought by even a moderate blaze. Rome is divided into 7 districts for fire prevention purposes, and Brevis and his colleagues are well aware that it was in the district covered by their cohort, Regio II, that the worst fire in Roman history began. This was in AD 64, and the fire that started in these winding streets near the Circus Maximus eventually grew into a conflagration that was only brought under control 6 days later, by which time well over a quarter of Rome had been completely destroyed. The Great Fire. On the hot, breezy summer night of 19 June AD 64, a fire broke out in one of the shops that lined the street-side walls of the Circus Maximus. As the historian Tacitus later explained, there were neither mansions screened by boundary walls, nor temples surrounded by stone enclosures, nor obstructions of any description to bar its progress. Tacitus, who experienced the fire for himself while a lad, gives this description from personal experience. The streets were clogged with fugitives. There were shrieking and terrified women, the disabled and the aged. There were men looking out for themselves or for others, some with the infirm on their backs or waiting for them to catch up. While they looked back, the fire attacked them from the flanks or from the front. Sometimes they escaped into a neighbouring district only to find it in an even worse state than the one they had just left. Many believe that so great a fire must have been helped along its way, and suspicion developed that the Emperor Nero had decided on the fire as a drastic form of urban clearance, after which he would rebuild Rome according to his own plans. The jerry-built street traders' stalls, the warehouse sheds, and the upper floors of many buildings are all of wood, tindered dry and jammed so close together that there is barely a single structure that is not touching another. All it takes is a coal spat out from a badly made fire, or an unattended oil lamp knocked over by a foraging rat, and within minutes a wall of flames might come sweeping down the street that Brevis and his squad are patrolling. Little wonder that the watch have the power to break into any premises where they suspect a fire might get out of control. As well as statutory powers to fine careless businesses or householders, the watch are not above handing out